Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
Let me turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter 1, please. This morning we're going to begin talking about spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. There's a lot of different books that have been written about spiritual maturity and how we need to grow in the faith. And so this morning we're going to begin with the Apostle Peter, who writes to the church here, and this is his second letter. And so we're going to begin in 2 Peter. I want you to go to chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ. And you know, I think it's so important as we study the New Testament and we see what Paul writes about himself. Sometimes Paul says that he's a slave. He says he's a bondservant. He says he's a prisoner for the Lord. These men and women aren't mincing words. There's a reason they're communicating something here. And Peter here says, I'm a bondservant and an apostle. Now, a bondservant, when you go back into the Old Testament, you begin to see that a bondservant was somebody who was freed after their years of service, but they chose to stay with the master. This is so cool because this is the secret sauce of following Christ. It is for freedom's sake that Christ set us free. But when we come back and say, I don't want to just run with this freedom you've given me, Lord. I want to be bound to you. Where you go, I want to go. What you say, I want to say. A bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter says, before I say a word, I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm a bondservant of the Lord. And as we look to spiritual maturity, this is the call for the church in this hour. To not be satisfied with where we currently are. To not be satisfied getting fat and dumb and happy in all of the coolness of Christianity and all of the goodness that the Lord is doing, but to get a little closer, to come a little bit deeper with the Lord and say, if you're coming through the room, I'm going to be right on your tail. And when I catch up to you, I'm going to be right by your side. I want to be where you are, Lord. This is the call and the hour. I love what David was communicating. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Time is here. The time is now. All right, take a sip. Take a sip. All right. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us by righteousness of God and Savior, our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, if it's anything that we need in this day and in this hour, it's grace and peace to be multiplied to us. Different translations read it this way, grace may abound, more and more grace. God is giving you more and more grace. I love what the Amplified Bible says that grace is. It says that grace is the ability of the Holy Spirit to meet all evil tendencies in our lives. Grace is the ability of the Holy Spirit. When the Lord says it's time to come up higher, we can begin moving into a place of striving and think, okay, we got to work to get there. But this is why the word that the Lord was communicating to David is so good. It's the Lord's responsibility. When you go back and you read the prophets, God says the time will come when they don't even have to have people teach my people, because I will put my law on their hearts and I will write it on their minds and I will be God to them and they will be my people. Friends, this is the time that we're living in right now. We have the living word of God. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us to do everything that we need to do. So here he goes, grace and peace be multiplied. Now, verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things. Everybody say all things. All things. That pertain to life and godliness. What is it you need for life? What is it you need for godliness? What is it you need for natural life? What is it you need for spiritual godliness? Everything has been provided. But for too long in Christianity, we've been reaching up to heaven and trying to pull it down. But we're about to see what Peter communicates right here. Everything has been provided through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Guys, when we actually get a hold of what took place at the cross, not just that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, but that he gave back to man the ability to have the divine nature inside so that everything we need is already possessed in spirit. We don't need to reach up to heaven to grab it and pull it down. Everything we need that pertains to life and godliness is provided for us in the spirit. I like to say it this way, that there was a great exchange that took place in the garden when Adam sinned because he had all authority on the earth. You got to go back and read your Bible. When Adam sinned, he exchanged the God nature and gave that nature to Satan, which is how Satan became the God of this world. And he took on the sin nature. And as a result, all mankind was born into a sin nature. But Jesus, this is the best part, but Jesus, through his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, provided for us access once again to that divine nature. We don't have to walk around any longer and bump into all these things because everything we need for life has been provided and is in the Spirit. Paul writes it like this, Philippians 2:12, therefore work out your salvation through fear and trembling. Where did your salvation take place? In the Spirit. It took place in your spirit, and it's my responsibility and your responsibility to work that salvation out, to touch our soul, to touch our body, so that we're bringing our whole person into alignment with the Lord. I'm telling you, this is gonna get real good. This is awesome. See, sometimes we're talking about growing up in faith and becoming spiritually mature, and we think we gotta do all this hard work. There's work to do. There's work to do, but there's an ease that comes with it. There's an ease as we settle in to allowing the Holy Spirit to do it. So we're gonna keep reading here. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. What? What? Add to your faith? We shouldn't add anything to our faith. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Now let's pause for a moment right here because we're actually reading Peter's second letter to the church. So what is he talking about saying add to your faith? We have to first understand what this faith is before we can move forward and talk about virtue and knowledge and all these different things. So in order to do so, we need to flip back to Peter's first letter. So go with me just a few pages to 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. Sorry, Al, I don't think I gave you this one here, but 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. He's about to describe and define for us right here the faith that he's communicating in his second letter. He's saying, before I wrote to you about being established in faith, and now that you're established in faith, you need to grow in your spiritual maturity. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. Listen, when you're born again, nobody can snatch you from the hand of God. You belong to Jesus. It doesn't matter what hell you're going through on this earth, nobody can snatch you. It's incorruptible. He's done the work. It's satisfied. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away. Man, I'll tell you what, I get weak and I get tired sometimes, but the work of Jesus is complete. My salvation is secure. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our salvation is complete. It cannot fade away. And at this point, you're like, yeah, we get it, Kurt. But no, we don't. No, we don't. We don't. And until we get it, we can't add the virtue. We can't add the knowledge. We all want to get spiritually mature. We all want to grow up. But we haven't. We haven't caught and fallen back to that place of getting intimate with the Lord again, where it's like, God, this is so real. And I'm just parked at salvation. And I'm just so grateful for what you've done for me. Reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you are grieved by various trials. This is going to become important in his second letter, because the challenge is when we face trials, the enemy is trying to keep us from entering that promised land. He's trying to keep us from holding on to our faith and enduring to the end. Verse 7, why do we go through the various trials? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be attested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now listen, this is the part that touches my heart every single time. Because Peter and John, they write these letters. They write these letters to the churches, and they had an opportunity to touch Jesus. They had an opportunity to walk with Jesus. Even Thomas said, I'm not going to believe that he's risen until I see him, touch him, and then I'll believe it. And Jesus said, here, touch my hands, feel my side. You see and you believe, but I tell you the truth, blessed are those who believe and do not see. And Peter declares right here, you need to read this, because I believe the Lord wants to communicate to us this morning is how pleased the Lord is with us, because we have not seen Jesus and yet we believe. Look at it right here. Verse 8, whom having not seen you love. Do you know how hard it is to love somebody you've never seen? And yet the Spirit bears witness with us that we belong to God, that we know Jesus, the risen Savior. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible, full of glory. All right, so we're going to flip forward. So this is the faith that Peter is writing about that we have to build on. For so long, there's been these different dialogues in church culture and preaching and teaching and, you know, do we stay at the cross? Is the cross everything? The cross, my friend, is the beginning. It is the beginning and it is the end. It is where everything has been provided to bring back to us all that we need, as it states right here in 2 Peter, for life and godliness. Divine nature has now been provided to each and every one of us. So when we talk about spiritual maturity, there are four steps that I want to get to today. I hate that this is always like numbers, but there's four things that I sense the Lord communicating. Number one, and it came up this morning, Jamal was saying it, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. James says it this way, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it will be blessed in all that he does. Here's the reality. My wife and I have discovered this in our lives. Every time our life has gone sideways, or every time we have stagnated in our relationship with the Lord, we look at a few different things. And typically what happens is either there's rebellion and disobedience, or more so than not, there's neglect. Neglecting the Word, neglecting the disciplines that were established in our lives. And we're going to get to that in just a few moments here. But the first thing is to stay in the Word. The second thing is to take inventory. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces even to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of the will and intents of the heart. When I read the word and it's separating things inside of me, I have to take inventory. When I'm reading the word and I'm getting uncomfortable and I'm getting infuriated, I have to take inventory. I gotta stay in the Word. I've gotta take inventory of what the Word is revealing to me. Now, here's one that nobody really likes, and that's I need to receive correction. Come on, everybody, let's receive correction. Are you all happy about that? We should be, because where does correction come from? Oh, come on, you both just said it. It comes from the Father because He, Hebrews 12. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, because the Lord corrects those whom he loves. The Lord corrects those whom he loves. So when I stay in the Word and I have the Spirit of God already inside of me, that Word is activating the Spirit of God inside of me. And when I allow that to take place and I take inventory, now I can receive correction from the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you something. God is so good. God is so good. In case you didn't realize, God has sort of like a track record for a corrective pattern. I was dealing with some young people this week, and I said, now listen, if you had sinned in private, then I could correct you in private. But because you sinned in public, so others don't follow you, I'm gonna have to correct you in public. Now, if we follow the Spirit of God, His corrective pattern is this. You already have divine nature inside of you, if you are indeed born again. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. By confessing with our mouth, by believing in our heart, the Lord Jesus and God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10, it's right there. That's all we have to do. That's all God needs us to do to regenerate our spirit. So when we get into the Word can activate the Spirit inside of us. And if we're paying attention, then the Holy Spirit will correct us in private. First round. The Holy Spirit's corrective pattern is, I love you so much, I don't want to shame you. I don't want to embarrass you. Why don't you get alone with me? Let my Word reveal some things to you, and I'll bring some correction to you. And when we refuse, God follows the Matthew 18 model. Jesus said it. He's the living Word. God follows Matthew 18. All right, buddy, you're not listening to me. How many times do you get before me and I say, hey, this really shouldn't be there in your life anymore. Hey, buddy, come on. Come on. I've given you power, everything necessary for life and godliness. Come calling you up higher. Be holy because I'm holy. I'm not calling you to be holy and not giving you the power. I'm calling you to be holy because you have the power. Divine nature. Divine nature. No, you're not just human. I don't care what the song says. I don't care what the movie says. You're not just human. But you got to tap into the Spirit of God that is on the inside of you. That is where we live. Life and godliness. Everything that pertains. So we get alone with the Lord. Now we're not listening. And he says, I love you so much, I don't want this to stay in your life. So I'm going to bring somebody you'll listen to. Maybe it's an elder. Maybe it's a friend. And we're like, there's two options when somebody comes to correct you. Maybe it's a parent. Hebrews 12 says it this way. We either faint. I'm no good. I can't do anything right. Everything I do always fails. Or we stiffen our neck. We either faint and fall down because the correction is so hard, or we stiffen our neck and say, I don't care. Who are you? No, you think it's just kids, but it's not. We act like it's just kids, but it's not. It's the spiritual immature as well. We act like that sometimes too. So we either faint under the pressure because we feel like there's no power, and God is saying, listen, everything you need, I've given to you in the Spirit. Just tap in, baby. Just tap in. It's all there. And if not, we choose to stiffen our neck and we just keep walking. And because of God and his riches and love and mercy through Christ Jesus will not permit you to stay that way. If you truly are crying out, God, I want more of you. God, I want more of you. And he's like, okay, there are some things that are blocking you. I've been trying to tell you, you got to do these things. See, it's not hard if we just pay attention. And then, if we're really not paying attention, the Lord may have a service in the church where he's just like, we need to grow up a little bit, everybody, okay? I'm going to tell it to the church now, okay? Y'all following me, Matthew 18, okay? You go to your brother. If he hears you, you've won your brother. If he still doesn't hear you, you take a friend, and then hopefully you've gained your brother. If he still won't listen to the two of you, you tell it to the church. So sometimes the Lord is saying, I got to tell it to the church because they're not getting it. I'm there in the morning at 5 a.m., at 6 a.m. I'm there at night at 10 o'clock when they're reading the word, and they're asking me for more of me, but they're not paying attention. I keep sending people down their lane to encourage them and correct them, and they're not receiving it. So I'm going to tell it to the church. So this is good. This is good. This is good. Everybody say, this is good. He loves me. He loves me. Wow. All right, so we receive correction. And then the fourth thing that we're going to begin to tackle this morning is to make adjustments. So we have stayed in the Word of God. We've taken inventory. In our prayer time, the Lord might be revealing something. We're receiving the correction, be it through the Spirit of God and the Word, through a brother or through the church. And now we're responsible to make the adjustments. Make the adjustments. This is where our part comes into play. This is our role. And if this message sounds so basic, good. Good. We have overcomplicated spirituality. We've run after lofty things and we haven't done the basic. So here we go. Peter says it like this, add to your faith virtue. I'm over here in 2 Peter verse 5. For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to the faith that's been established through Christ by the Holy Spirit inside of you to virtue. Virtue. Virtue can be understood like this, moral goodness or moral excellence. Moral goodness and moral excellence. You know, what's interesting is when, if you can remember when you first got saved, I know we go back and forth on like religious practices and all these different things, but if you remember when you first got saved, maybe you came into church and maybe you saw, okay, not everybody dresses like me, so maybe I need to change my dress. Maybe you heard like, oh, I'm supposed to read my Bible and I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to have this time with God. I'm supposed to have devotion. As we move into virtue, I believe virtue is this, the moral excellence of disciplines. Adding disciplines to our life. So if I want to have moral excellence, as I'm reading the Word of God, I need to understand discipline, boundaries, and training. The very first thing that comes into my life after I've given my life to the Lord is, where do boundaries need to be set up? Where does discipline need to take place? Because my life is no longer my own. Where do I need some training? Because ultimately, we can't even get to the place that the Lord wants us to be if we're not implementing these first steps. Now, I want to share this with you. Here's a really cool fact. Spiritual maturity does not produce religious behavior. Sometimes we're looking at spiritual maturity, we're saying, oh, that person's really mature. They can spit verses like crazy. And when they walk, you just feel it. Spiritual maturity doesn't produce religious behavior. It produces God's love. How about what you're saying? See, in my own flesh, I don't possess the ability to love you all. I don't possess the ability to love people that rub me like a cheese grater. We used to say it this way. There are sandpaper people, right? Anybody ever heard that? There are sandpaper people. Dad, are you raising your hand like you're one of them or you know them? I know them. I know them. We can't do this without the Spirit of God. It's not producing religious behavior. It will produce the God kind of love. And I'm going to tell you a secret. All these things that are laid out here, that's where it all lands. It's going to get really good. Let's keep tracking. All right. Virtue. We need to instill and install disciplines in our life. Let me tell you something. If you don't have a set time that you're meeting with the Lord, do it. Just do it. Okay? You know, we might book a meeting and we're going to say, okay, now we have all these calendars. And anybody who knows me and's booked a meeting with me, I'm sending you a Google invite. Everybody knows that about me. Okay? Anybody who books a meeting. Why aren't we doing the same thing with the Lord? Hey, Lord, I'll meet you tonight at 10 after the kids go to bed. Hey, Lord, I'm going to meet you first thing in the morning at 6 before we start the day or whatever time. But I'm going to meet you. We're going to get together. We're going to open the Word. And let me tell you another secret that we're missing sometimes as Christians, because I talk to a lot of Christians and they say, the word is dry. I just can't get into it. Listen, there are times we're force feeding ourselves the word. But here's a secret sauce. When I open up the word of God, I'm inviting the Holy Spirit to the process. Holy Spirit, you were there when this is written. You're my helper. Speak to me through this living word. And now it gets a little more real. We need to keep the disciplines. Keep the disciplines. Because when life fails, you can go back to the disciplines. Keep the disciplines. We keep our relationship with the Lord. We keep growing with him. We're not forsaking the assembly of the brethren. We're coming together. All right? Now, he says this, add to your virtue knowledge. What is knowledge? Sometimes we're doing things because it's the right thing to do, but knowledge is clear understanding of the why. Clear understanding of the why. So when our kids are young, I used to have this question with the Lord. I would call my parents. I would talk to Jen. I would read all the books. Am I supposed to raise my kids in grace now that I'm a New Testament believer? Or am I supposed to raise my kids under the law? And it took me a long time. And you know what I discovered? Yes. 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 There must be an understanding of the law so that when you violate it, there can be conviction and there's already grace to supply. There's already grace to supply. This is actually how the Lord led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He gave them the law to keep it before their eyes. So ultimately, they'd be like, we can't do this. Ah, yes, exactly. There's grace. There's supply. There is supply. But there must be a revelation that we cannot do it on our own. And so when our kids are younger, just look at it. If you don't know how the Lord's leading you, just have a couple of kids and then you realize, this is how the Lord is leading you. I said, no. I said, no. See, we made the mistake. Too many of us make the mistake early on when our kids are younger. And we're like, okay, you know, we've got all this training in psychology now. So we're like, listen, two-year-old, let me explain to you why. Here's what, no, look at me right here, here, right here, right here. No, here, here. Here's why. Too soon. Too soon. I said, no. See, this has got to come back, and we can't do it for the kids because we're not letting the Lord do it for us. So here's the reality. God leads us. Paul says it like this in his writings in Romans. He says that the law was his tutor until the teacher came. It was his tutor until Christ came. So this law has to be understood. Otherwise, we don't know how powerful grace is. But as we move in with the Lord and we begin to understand, now he says, oh, now you're ready for the why. You've got the faith. You've added the disciplines. So virtue is being produced in your life. Now let's get to the why. And when you get the why, the whole world begins to open up and you're like, ah, this makes sense. And see, if we don't have the why, we won't be able to do the next thing. And here's the next thing. You need to add, verse 6, you need to add to your knowledge self-control. Think about how Peter is building here. It starts with faith because you need the divine nature. This is where religion has got it wrong, trying from the outside to do something inward. No, 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 no. You need the work of the Spirit inward and then produce outward. Now that we have divine nature, now we can work on moral excellence. Just instill some disciplines in your life. Now that you have the disciplines, let's begin to talk about why this is so important to live a life of virtue. Now that you understand the why, let's add some self-control to the plate. And what I love about self-control is that this specific rendering is actually talking about the sensual appetite. The sensual desires. This is really, really good here. Virtue helps you build the boundaries so that you can actually walk in self-control. because our enemy walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And one of the easiest inroads to our life, I've talked to a number of friends. In fact, I often take so much credit for how rebellious I was as a kid. And the Lord has actually revealed to me that it wasn't just the rebellion that started, it's what took place beforehand. See, I didn't realize that unattractive as a little kid in first and sixth grade, and I was picked on a lot, and it really hurt my feelings. And then all of a sudden in seventh grade, girls started to notice me. And I wasn't ready for it. But if you can take my natural example, I'm going to show you exactly how the enemy works. I wasn't ready for it. And you know, we read in the scripture about fleeing youthful lust and running away. Don't even go near the door of her house. And I wasn't ready in school for the young ladies to come and sit on my lap and throw their arms around me and speak to me. I wasn't ready for that. I was completely taken aback. And you know, the problem was I didn't listen to my parents, so I didn't establish virtue in my life. I had the faith, but I didn't listen to my parents to establish boundaries. Because I didn't have the boundaries, I wasn't getting alone with the Lord with the disciplines so I could have the self-control and knowledge in my life. And before I knew it, I was lost. This is exactly the way the enemy comes in. This is why this self-control is so critical, because it helps us resist even those sensual desires. And the enemy loves to come in a seductive way. Don't just hear what I'm saying and think it's all about, you know, sensuality. It's seduction. The enemy loves to come in and draw you away. A little seduction here. Come on, it's not so bad. Come on, come a little further here. All the while, we've violated the virtues and principles that the Lord has given us. So as we build on this self-control, the writer Peter says, add to your self-control perseverance. To be perseverant means to be steadfast, patient, enduring, constant. The maturing of our faith must produce perseverance. When we're hard pressed on every side, we have to know that we're not crushed. We have the ability to endure. Listen, if Satan couldn't get you by seducing you, he's gonna bring trial into your life until he wears you down. Wears you down. And you know what's a really good antidote for trial? Thanksgiving. Jesus said, in this world, you're gonna have tribulation. Hello! Why did we think it was gonna be any different? Why did we receive a bill of goods of rainbows and unicorns? In this world, you'll have tribulation. And Jesus doesn't say, but gird up your loins and get ready. No, he actually says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Man, we have been laughing like crazy lately in our house. I don't know what else to do but to laugh. Everything, all these things that are coming up against, and there's a joy that's rising up on the inside. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That divine nature kicks in, and we begin to laugh. Proverbs 31 says it like this, that the virtuous woman, she laughs at the days to come, knowing that her household is clothed in scarlet. Man, are you clothed in scarlet? Are you clothed? You better believe you are if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to keep laughing. Don't let the enemy seduce you and draw you away. And when trials and tribulations come, you can laugh at the days to come because you're completely clothed in scarlet. But it's not enough to persevere. See, Peter says, with our perseverance, we need to add godliness. Now, here's a kicker. This is really cool. Perseverance is the natural so that the spiritual can take place. Romans 12:1-2 says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. So I got to do the presenting of my body a living sacrifice so that the spiritual work of godliness can take place. I have to persevere and endure so that godliness, which is reverence and being devout. See, it's one thing for me just to pursue and persevere through hardship. It's another thing for me altogether to remain devoted to the Lord when everything is trying to assail me. The enemy knows if he couldn't kick you down because you're a fighter, he's going to attack your thinking, so you turn from the Lord. Look at that. Look at that. There you are again. He has forsaken you again. Did you see that? The Lord has left you abandoned again, and now you're alone. You thought you were hot stuff, tough stuff, making it through all those trials. Well, the Lord's not with you. See, he might not have been able to seduce you. He might not have been able to knock you down because you're a fighter, but now he's going to attack your identity and your relationship with the Lord. And this is where we do have to gird up our loins. And this is where we do have to say, no. For it is written, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. You cannot be forsaken. You cannot be forsaken. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? If God did not forsake Jesus, then he could have forsaken us. But because he forsook Jesus, he cannot forsake us. He cannot. No matter what we go through in trial and tribulation in this life, he cannot. And so godliness is beyond perseverance and endurance. Godliness is beyond being constant in the midst of trial. Godliness is staying devout towards God, remaining devoted and faithful to God, even when the enemy is assailing you and trying to get you to turn around. Now, Peter's building something here. I like to think about it as Peter's building a house. He said, faith is the foundation. Some of your framework is going to be all these things that we just discussed. And now here is the reason why. The last two. Here is the reason why. Thank you for tracking with me this morning. To godliness, verse 7, add brotherly kindness. It's been talked about this morning several times. What did Jesus say? By this, everyone's going to know that you're my disciples, by the way you love one another. Do you know that brotherly kindness? Do you know what that Greek word is? Anybody want to guess? Yeah, you got it, Pastor John. Phileo, Philadelphia, brotherly love. Philadelphia, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, godliness, and now brotherly affection, brotherly love. If you haven't learned to stay faithful to God, you're not going to stay faithful to the brethren. And the Lord actually uses our relationship with one another as the litmus test for our love for him. In case we haven't read our New Testament, John, in one of his letters, says it like this. How do you say that you love God and hate your brother? How can you love God whom you haven't seen and hate your brother who you have seen? Truly, if you say I love God and hate my brother, watch it, the love of God is not in you. Whoa. All that hard work and now the love of God is not even in us. So when we realize that we have offense and hatred and unforgiveness towards one another, the Lord is revealing to us, hey, you got to get that clear. You got to get that clear. Clear it out. Don't let it stay. Don't let it stay. Listen, I was the ultimate grudge holder. The ultimate grudge holder. And the biggest grudge I was holding was against myself. Could not forgive myself. And it wasn't until the Lord taught me to forgive people and forgive myself that the door and floodgates were opened to receive his love. Here's the kicker. Watch it. Get ready. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Duh, love. No. Do you know what the Greek word is here? Oh, agape. See, we just say, God, if you just give me more agape, then I'll know how to do it. He says, no, I've given you divine nature. And as you walk these things out in divine nature and actually have the Philadelphia one for another, the brotherly affection and the brotherly love one for another, then are you going to produce the agape, God kind of love in your life? Then and only then. We keep saying, God, when you give me the ability, then I'll go ahead and love the cheese grater people. God, when you give me the people, then I'll go ahead and love the sandpaper people. When you give me the power, he says, I've already given you divine nature. If we want, I said a few moments ago, that spiritual maturity is not the ability to spit verses quick and fast. Spiritual maturity, the true test, and I love spitting verses, you all know that, but the true test is the love that's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. That is the true test. It is how Jesus can say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. So Peter goes on to say here, for if, watch this, guys, this is so cool and so good. For if these things are yours and they abound, you will not be barren or unfruitful. How many of you want to have a productive life? I would like to have a productive life. I would like to not be barren. Jamal was talking about it earlier. You know that Peter says later on, he says, listen, husbands, be understanding with your wives and dwell with them in an understanding way, giving honor to them as the weaker vessel, because if you don't, your prayers are hitting the ceiling. They're not reaching the Lord. Your prayers will be hindered. Read it. It's in Peter. Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor and preference to them as the weaker vessel. Not before God, for we are equal. But he talks about mistreating her. Your prayers will actually fall silent on the Lord. Why? Because we are to love our wives the way that Christ loved the church, Ephesians 5, and gave himself for her. This is good. This is good. For these things, if they are yours and they abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this, verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Folks, you don't have to be a grammar major to understand here. What is the tense of the verb usage? Past, but you have been washed, but you have been cleansed, but you have been justified, but you have been sanctified. Past tense. Why are we still living like the dead person? All those sins are already taken care of. All of it was nailed to the cross. Colossians 1, nailed to the cross. Romans 6, reckon yourself dead to sin and alive into Christ Jesus our Lord. So why are we acting like the old dead person? Why are we acting like that? No. We have everything that we need. We have already been cleansed. Guys, some of us are spending so much time asking the Lord to cleanse us, asking the Lord to bring all these things into our lives and forgive our old sins. And he's saying, it is finished. It's finished. Past tense. You have been reconciled to God. The reason the gospel is so good, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, is because God already did all the work of reconciling the world to himself. Now we just have to choose to believe and accept it. The work is done. The work is done. That's why it's so good. All right, so we're going to wrap up here. Whoever lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, be even more diligent. This is what we've been talking about this morning, spiritual maturity. Be more diligent to make your call and election sure, For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Wow. I think these are pretty important things to build into our lives for spiritual maturity. Now, there's a lot that we've covered today, and it's going to take a long time to have it worked out in our lives, and that's okay. We've got our life with the Lord. And if we end up sailing off into eternity before we get it, He's got us covered. It's okay. It's okay. It's already sealed. But while we're here, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Because doing these things and instilling these things and installing these things in your life will cause you to not fade away, will cause you to not stumble. I'd like to pray for us this morning. And like I said early on as I started, any time that I've become stagnant in my relationship with the Lord or stagnant in my growth, one of two things have taken place. Number one, I've either neglected my disciplines, my Bible reading and my prayer, or number two, I've become rebellious and disobedient. I have not listened to the Lord. We're asking God, we're crying out to Him for more of Him. But sometimes we're not spending time alone with Him. Or better still, if we are, He's trying to correct us. He's trying to tell us what to do, and we just won't listen. Disobedient, rebellious, and stiff-necked. And part of that is either living in sin or refusing to forgive. So I want to pray for us, and then in just a few minutes, we're going to do something together. So let's pray today. Father, thank You so much for Your faithfulness. Thank You for who You are. Thank You that You have called us, that You have set us apart, and that we belong to You. And today our song can be, I belong to Jesus. I am not my own. I belong to Jesus, and heaven is my home. I belong to Jesus. And today in this room right now, if you've never taken that first step of faith to allow the Lord into your heart to transform you from the inside out, you can do so just as you're sitting here. That's the first step, to say, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life, Jesus, and transform me from the inside out. Come into my life right now. And if you're here and you've been following the Lord for a long time, maybe you're realizing that you've become stiff-necked or you fainted. The Lord has tried to bring correction into your life, but you keep fainting or you keep becoming stubborn and you'd refuse to obey. Maybe obedience for you this morning is forgiving somebody, including yourself. Or maybe obedience for you this morning is doing the thing the Lord has asked you to do, but you keep saying no. You keep saying, not right now, Lord. When the time is right, I'll know. And I want you in this moment right now just to repent, whatever it is. If either one of those resonates with you, just repent. Say, Lord, I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda, when I've tried to make it my way, I repent and I allow You to speak again and speak afresh in my life. I want to hear from You, Lord. I want to know Your voice. I want to receive from You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what I want to do, we're going to just close down the live stream. And I had this song on my heart this morning, and we're always praying for the Lord to do something in our lives. And I want you in this posture, no matter what noises take place, but for 2.5 to 3 minutes, I want this song to be the song that your soul sings to the Lord and allow Him to do the work in the Spirit. So I want your soul to resonate with these words so that He can move in our lives. So I'm going to have you close your eyes. And guys, when you're ready, go ahead and play that song.
Anytime I think I might have figured You out, I find a new shade of beautiful that I knew nothing about. Anytime I feel we couldn't get any closer, we go even deeper than we were before. They pale in comparison to the way that you shine.
To the way that you shine. Yeah, I swear I've never felt this. And without you, I'd be helpless. You promised that you're mine and I'm all yours. Yours. The more I, more I, more I see, the more I.
That's the cry of your heart. Just stand to your feet this morning. Let's begin to call on the Lord. Father, we desire more of you. Let's open up our mouths. Let's cry out for more. Lord, we desire more of you. We're hungry and thirsty. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's been the cry this morning. I need more of you, Lord. I desire more of you. When you speak, I want to listen. Lord, I will listen. I will follow. When you speak, I will listen. I will obey. I'm sorry for not obeying before, but I will obey. I will go where you send me. Thank you. Come on, just lift your voices. Just take a few minutes. Just begin to lift your voice. Just begin to lift your voice and call on him. Just begin to lift your voice. Call on him. Lord, I need more of you. I desire more of you. More of you in my life. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're asking right now in these moments and as we move throughout our day, that your Holy Spirit, who is always with us, would reveal the things in our life that you're trying to speak to. That as we get into the Word tonight or as we get into the Word tomorrow morning, that it's clearer now than ever. Clearer now than ever And if there's areas of our life where you'd like to see more discipline, show us, Lord, because the hour is short. Show us, Lord. Lord, we love you, we honor you, and we bless you. We give you all the praise. We love you so much, Father. Thank you for never leaving us and never forsaking us. You're with us to the end. You're with us to the end, God. We love you. In Jesus' name. Guys, have a wonderful day. God bless you. Take good care.
This is Pastor Zach, and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you, and have the best day of your life.